Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. We're here today with Amanda Hall. Amanda, we're thrilled to have you on the podcast today. You were the 2010 Mitchell Scholar from Mount Blue High School, and welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It's our pleasure to have you. I am so excited to get into your story. I have to share with the audience a very interesting fact about you. As I was refreshing my memory on your background and doing some Googling, I found a page that said you were on Jeopardy as a child. So that might be an interesting intro into, you know, where did you grow up? Where did you go to school? And what was that like?
Yeah, so I grew up in Farmington. So lived there my whole life and was always, you know, maybe you can think of if I was on Jeopardy as a kid. As you said, I've always just liked to learn. I've always just been a really curious kid. It probably drove my family nuts. I was always the kid that said, well, why? Why is this that way? How can I know more about that? And so that sort of really propelled me, I think, through school, through college, through a couple of degrees since, and really into my career right now, is really just wanting to know more about how and why and when and who and all these sorts of questions. Really, all of that started in Farmington.
And what was it like growing up in Farmington?
I mean, it was a great place to grow up, especially I think as I've gotten older and sort of lived other places, realized how lucky I was to grow up in Maine and to grow up in a small town in a really supportive community, you know, where you had pretty much, I think, you know, as a kid, everything you could sort of want, right? You had that really supportive community. I was really lucky to have a close family, a lot of friends, these sorts of things. But also just the space, both physical, I think, and mental space to explore and grow and develop as a person. And Farmington will always be home, I think, no matter where I live.
And when you think back to maybe your senior year as you were considering college and you may have found out about the Mitchell Institute scholarship, what do you remember about that?
So I remember knowing about the Mitchell Institute, I think, probably fairly early in the applying to college sort of world. My mom works in admissions at the University of Maine, Farmington. So Mitchell scholars at Farmington might know Lisa Elrich. So that's my mom. So I very much grew up.
I've heard her name for sure.
Yeah. So very much grew up on campus, sort of tagging along with her to things. And so I think had maybe more awareness of what applying to college meant, but also sort of crucially the question of how do you pay for it? And the fact that college was expensive. And so I knew that there were scholarships out there, but had heard of the Mitchell Institute as one of those scholarships that really was a community rather than just a check. And I remember thinking that that sounded great. I don't think at 17, I had much of an idea of what that actually looked like, but I know it sounded really nice. And I remember applying and knowing it was really competitive and being really, really honored when I was selected.
We talk about the Mitchell Institute scholarship as more than a scholarship. And just knowing a bit about your history, I think that has certainly held true for you. And I'm curious as to how you might define that and how that started to come into your story as you went on to college and beyond.
I don't even know really where to start with trying to describe how much more than a scholarship the Mitchell Institute has been. You know, obviously it's very clear, I think, even when you are awarded the scholarship, it's not going to be just here's a check to help support you. You know, you're told about things like mile one and mile two and these sorts of things. But for me, I went to college in Connecticut, I went to Yale, and so wasn't necessarily close to home to be able to attend all of these sorts of things, though the year I went to Mile 2 was brilliant, so highly recommend it. But the way that the Mitchell Institute in particular has been more than a scholarship is the fact that it's really set me up. It really introduced me to the passion that I've sort of carried into my professional life and that's really shaped my whole life. I was a sophomore in college, and I remember I was sitting in the back of a lecture hall waiting for a biology class to start. My undergraduate degree is in American studies. Like, I just had to take a science class. And got an email from the Mitchell Institute saying, basically, hey, we've partnered with CIEE, who have just moved to Portland, and we've got these two opportunities to go abroad this summer, one of which was to Belfast. And like I said, my undergraduate degree was in American studies. I wasn't really planning to study abroad. But I said, that sounds really interesting. Why don't I apply? You never know what's going to happen. Got it, went to Belfast, and just my mind was absolutely blown with Northern Ireland and the legacy of Senator Mitchell's work in Northern Ireland, but also just the way the region had continued to develop and progress and what that legacy of Senator Mitchell's peace process Senator Mitchell led has looked like. So thought it was fascinating. Went back to college. It was too late to change my major. So decided I was going to delay law school for a year to go, got into law school, deferred for a year to go back to Belfast and do a master's in politics. And was there for, I don't know, 6 weeks maybe when I decided, actually, I just want to get a PhD in this. I want to study this for the rest of my life. And so fast forward a few years, I have a PhD in international relations. I study Northern Ireland, and I actually just signed a permanent academic contract. So a permanent academic job as a, we'd call it a lecturer in the UK, in the US, the equivalent is an assistant professor job, teaching about, among other things, Northern Ireland for a living. And so you can really see how that one opportunity that I got sort of, again, kind of randomly through the Mitchell Institute is what shaped the last sort of decade of my life. And so you want to talk about more than a scholarship, I think that sort of drives it home.
It is so striking to me that it can change with just that one phone call. And that just sort of speaks to how important not only the Mitchell Institute connections and opportunities are, but just more broadly to always be looking around at, you know, what might be coming your way, because you never know what that point of inspiration might be. And it's so interesting to hear about what you've been studying, especially in the context of the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Senator Mitchell was recently there to celebrate that with his family. And I'm just curious if you could say a little bit more about what about this, you know, topic and process interests you.
I think the most sort of striking thing is, you know, especially growing up in Maine, you hear that Senator Mitchell was sort of instrumental in this amazing process. But until you actually have talked to people from Northern Ireland, I think, or maybe experienced it for yourself if you have the chance, it's really hard to grasp how much of a difference that's made. But also the fact that so much of that work is very much still ongoing. And this is sort of where my own professional work picks up, is the idea that, you know, reaching this negotiated settlement in 1998 is amazing, right? And sort of set in motion all of this other stuff that's been happening for the last 25 years. And I think that was really, really clear in the way that Senator Mitchell and the process were celebrated in Belfast a few weeks ago. You know, and you heard a lot of people then saying, look, we've got a lot of work to do, but we can only do that work because we signed this agreement in 1998, because those people were willing to get into a room, because those people were willing to talk about it. And obviously the senator was crucial in making that happen.
It's so great just to hear that you're helping to continue that work, which will be going on forever, right? Yes. It never really ends. It's constant work. And I just think it's such an interesting piece that you're able to participate in. And you've gone on to, you know, from undergrad, you went on to get a master's and then a PhD. I know people often ask, you know, us advice questions around, should I do that? Shouldn't I do that? When should I do that? Any particular advice around those steps you took?
I think there's sort of practical advice, and then there's sort of just emotional advice, right? A master's and a PhD were absolutely never part of my plan. I think you can maybe see from the way the last sort of decade of education is shaped out that quite a lot of it hasn't been part of what was the original plan at 17, 18 years old. And so I think part of it is recognizing that if you're really, really passionate about something, you're really excited about something, that can often be a key that maybe you should do this, right? You know, and I think it's important to sort of listen to that interest. I remember in the decision, particularly to defer law school, and then obviously never go to law school, but to defer and to go get the master's, I remember thinking, look, this is really, I'm going to really regret not studying this further. And so I think that sort of emotional attachment to something can be a good sort of personal sign that maybe that's something you should do. And in practical terms, I think, you know, going on to further study any level of education really is going to have sort of practical concerns about it, right? Whether it's opportunity costs for the other things you could be doing, whether it's managing a move, whether it's just paying the bills. But I think one thing that was really useful to me was talking to people who had been through that process before and saying, look, these are the things I'm worried about. Do you have any advice? And so this is something I think, you know, the Mitchell Institute with the doing things like the sort of no pressure coffees, mm-hmm. and these sorts of things can be really useful, whether you're doing them with with the Mitchell Institute or just other people you know, and having those sorts of conversations and learning from other people's experiences, because it's not necessarily straightforward all the time. And it's not necessarily something you can learn from just hearing advice, but having a really good conversation about it can make all that difference. And so that was really important to me in figuring out just the practical aspects of going on and doing the thing.
And you are 5 hours ahead of me where you sit. Tell us about where you are and what your life is like there.
So I live in London at the moment. Like I said, I just signed a permanent academic contract. So I work at the University of Reading, which is just outside of London. And so my life basically professionally is that I teach on international relations, sort of broadly considered. So I teach an undergraduate module and a master's level module on terrorism. So we talk about Northern Ireland a lot in there, both before and after 1998. I teach an introductory international relations course, and then I teach a course that I'm really passionate about on academic skills. So helping students transition to university, because I think that's often really overlooked in that, you know, no matter what, going to university is going to be a transition. But I think particularly, you know, for students who, you know, I didn't know anyone who had gone to Yale before I went to Yale, for example. And so there was a lot of transition socially, academically, these sorts of things. And I was really lucky that I had people around to support. And so one of the modules I teach is sort of helping make sure that everybody knows what those resources are and what expectations are and these sorts of things. So I get to teach that as well, which is really great. So that's professionally. Personally, I live in London with my husband and spend a lot of time outside. We live, you know, near a park. We spend a lot of time in museums. I still like to ask the questions of why and who and how and when, and being near a bunch of world-class museums makes that fun and easy.
That's wonderful. And congratulations on your most recent position that you're
holding. Thank you.
I have
it's still very, very new.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting. I have a feeling that many Mitchell scholars and alumni that are listening are going to want to reach out to you for a myriad of reasons. With that being said, are there a couple of things that you would say are your top pieces of advice for maybe scholars that are in college right now or just about to start?
I think my biggest piece of advice is really, you know, look for opportunities wherever they may be, even if you don't necessarily think that they'll fit in with the broader plan, right? Like I said, I was in a biology class, which again was not part of the plan, but it was a requirement. You know, thinking I was going to go on and go to law school, you know, had this sort of whole plan laid out in front of me, but sort of took a chance on this opportunity and it totally changed my life. And so I think that's my biggest suggestion. And those opportunities, I don't think are always here. Would you like to go to another country and learn about it? But they can be as simple as, you know, an interesting speaker is coming and I'm going to go listen and I'm going to sort of put my hand up and ask a question at the end, even if that makes me nervous. You know, it doesn't have to always be mentors who are ahead of you in your career. It can be just people who are sort of in your class, who are around you, who are doing interesting things. Get to know them. Those are all sort of, you know, important things in developing personally and professionally, all of these things. And so I think just looking for those opportunities and taking them when they appear is maybe my biggest piece of advice.
I feel like the theme from you is right from the start of being a child is curiosity. And I think that's kind of what you're saying is this notion of being really curious about what's available to you. And also that making those changes don't have to be permanent. You know, you can try different things and eventually land where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I think I've been very lucky in sort of the landing. So I would absolutely encourage people to look for those opportunities where they are.
Well, thank you for sharing that. We usually like to wrap up with a bit of a lightning round. So okay. If you're up for that, what this is I just have a few words to share with you. And as I share those words, would just love to know, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that?
Okay.
All right. We will get started. Learning.
Always.
Community.
Made.
Mentorship.
Crucial.
Excellent. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing your story. It is just such an interesting and special journey and a really unique connection, I would say, to the Mitchell Institute and Senator Mitchell, of course. And we're just so glad you were able to join us today and really excited to see what happens next for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been great to speak to you. And I'd be happy to, you know, advise anyone, you know, talk to anyone that wants to talk about any of this further. Very happy to talk about it.
Wonderful. Definitely. I think many people will take you up on that. So we appreciate the offer. Thank you so much. Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn